A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like to acknowledge here the Knights of Columbus and the Catholic Daughters here for their annual communion breakfast, and give thanks to these two organizations who do so much good for the parish, for Brewster Cares and for Gianna House. Oh, thank you for your example of service and outreach. Well, today's the day we really give thanks, as I said at the beginning, because today's the official inauguration of the Holy Father as the successor to St. Peter, the Vicar of Christ. During the coming week, he'll travel to the three other major basilicas in Rome: St. Paul's Outside the Walls, St. Mary Major, where Pope Francis is buried, and St. John Lateran. Those, along with St. Peter's, those are the four major basilicas of Rome. And in fact, it's the Basilica of St. John the Lateran, which is the official cathedral of the Diocese of Rome. And so throughout the next week, he'll visit all of them, and the installation of the Pope will be complete with that. It's been really beautiful to see the attention that's been given to the papacy. As I said, the leaders of 150 nations are there in Rome for this event, which is testimony to how important the leaders, kings, queens, presidents, dictators too, all regard the papacy as a center of unity. And I'd encourage you to read Pope Leo's remarks this morning in his homily, because this way he spoke of the papacy as the center of unity and charity. And certainly that's what it was always meant to be by Jesus. Know that his vicar on earth, the Pope, would be the one who'd be the visible center of unity for all the different local churches. And we know, unfortunately, how much division within Christianity has split us apart. And it's sad to see. Oh, but present also with the Pope this morning was the Orthodox Patriarch of Constantinople, the head of the Eastern Orthodox churches. It's not quite equivalent to a pope, but those are the churches that broke away from us in the 1200s. And there were also representatives from various Protestant churches. They all broke away starting in the 1500s, to the point now where there are 40,000 different Christian denominations of all sorts. And you get a good sampling of some of them as you drive through Brewster. You got a Methodist church and a Baptist church and a Presbyterian church, and then you have a whole slew of kind of little Spanish denominations too, each of them their own church with their own following. Even right next door, what used to be the Episcopal Church is now a Spanish-speaking Seventh-day Adventist church. Well, we pray for unity among all Christians, that have been divided over doctrine. And we pray that the Holy Father will be that visible source of unity for us all again. I think it's no accident that he was a missionary for most of his life. Even though everybody's calling him the American Pope, he had very little to do with the church in America. He hardly ever worked here in the United States as a priest. But he spent most of his life in Peru first as a priest, and later on after Pope Francis made him bishop of a diocese there. And then he called him back to Rome to head the department that vets and appoints, or suggests to the Pope, appointment for bishops throughout the world. But he's only been doing that for 2 years. But he's a missionary and a religious of the Augustinian order, and he's got a missionary heart for outreach to the poor and for those who don't know Christ. And I think today, in that first reading, it's kind of appropriate because it's from the Acts of the Apostles, and it's part of the account of what we might call the first missionary journey in Christianity, where St. Paul and St. Barnabas, with their chronicler Luke, they're sent out by the church in Antioch, and they're sent out on a missionary journey to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they've gone all through Turkey and Greece, at least what we call Turkey and Greece today. And they give names of the different cities. They've been to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch and Pisidia and Pamphylia and Perga and Attalia. And then they sail back to Antioch. All this missionary journey where St. Paul tells the story of how they built up the churches in each area, and they confirmed the brethren, and they appointed elders or bishops to run those local churches. And this was the beginning of the spread of the church outside the Holy Land in those few years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. St. Paul tells all the communities that we must suffer much before we enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that's the work of the missionary, is to go out into the world, painstakingly build up the local churches, confirm them in the one true faith, and often suffer persecution and difficulty from the outside, sometimes from within. But it's a long, laborious process. The church was aware right from the beginning that Jesus wasn't going to come back right away and it'd be the end of the world. No, what Jesus had told the apostles was that they were to go forth to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything Jesus had said and done. And that work 2,000 years later goes on, and we still need missionaries. Because a core conviction we have as Christians is that there's no salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus Christ. So it's not okay for millions and millions of our brothers and sisters to be unbelievers. It's not okay for them to have distorted ideas of what God is. It's not okay for everybody to have their own concept of God and follow whatever their own whims are, because salvation comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the unique Son of God. And so every missionary has that desire to see as many people brought to Jesus Christ as possible. And that's what the papacy represents for us today. That's what Pope Leo was talking about this morning, that he wants to be the center of unity and charity. And when we read today's gospel, it's Jesus at the Last Supper speaking to his apostles just of this: I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. And by the love that you have for one another, people will know that you are my disciples. There's so much loaded into that line from Jesus. But Jesus obviously intends that charity is supposed to be something distinctive, that the love that Christians have for each other is supposed to stand out and be seen by the world to be so holy, so good, so pure, so self-sacrificing that they're drawn to Jesus' disciples. And that was the message that Jesus left them at the Last Supper, the night before he died. By the love that you have for each other, people will know that you are my disciples. And in a few minutes, in the same, the next chapter of the Gospel of St. John, he says, by the love you have for one another, people will know that I am who I said I am, the Son of God. So the quality of the charity and the love that we have for each other is supposed to be the proof that Jesus is the Son of God. And so if we have unbelievers 2,000 years later, if the world is filled with skeptics and people who don't take Jesus seriously, if we've got division in Christianity, it's because the quality of our love for each other is not what it should be. And this is the message of the Holy Father this morning, that he wants to be a witness to the power of that love in the world. You know, all of us, we've just had this campaign of Walk With One, and all of us, hundreds of us, have submitted names of people that we love and that we'd like to see come back to the Lord. We'd like to see those conversions. We'd like to see them live the same joy that we have. Well, the most important thing we do for them, of course, pray for them, but the most important thing we do is give a testimony of the quality of our charity, of the depth of our love, of the sacrificial nature of our love for them. That's really at the heart of every missionary and every one of us who's trying to reach out and evangelize those who don't know Christ. Do we love in such a way that people will come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That takes self-sacrificing love. That takes more than just being a nice person or having good attitudes or feelings toward others. It means dying on the cross to ourselves and giving the best of ourselves to others. If we could all live that kind of charity, the world would convert and everyone would be followers of Jesus Christ. Everyone would unite under the Holy Father. And that's what we need as to be missionaries. The world needs it, and it depends on us.